with us in the studio, it occurs to me that our, I was going to say our programming director, can I say that?
Yes, absolutely.
He's no longer our programming director.
See ya, suckers.
He is our new general manager.
Yay!
Matthew Davis.
But yes, now I am.
With us in the Daybreak. I'm so glad to hear that news.
Yeah.
Not that our former general manager wasn't a nice guy, wasn't good, wasn't et cetera, but, you know, you're my dude. You're the guy who's kept me on here for, you know, the past year, who's made sure everything's running, who really cares a lot about the station, and is going to bring so much to us as, you know, this year's general manager. Yay!
Absolutely. You know, our previous general manager, Thomas Hoffman, did so much good for the station, but as him and I discussed last night, he's gotten so many different new opportunities in the past, specifically few weeks, that just so many, he's just got too much on his plate to also be able to work here at the station at the capacity that he had in the past.
Well, now we should say that he will be our, he'll take your old job.
Yes, we're actually performing a switch. He will be the programming director. I will be the general manager, the board.
So what will his, I'm going to say duties. What will his duties be?
Ba-da-cha. His duties will be
long and brown. Thank you.
Hopefully. he will be in charge of picking programming for non-DJ hours, just as I had been.
Oh, okay.
And he'll be involved in helping train DJs. He'll assist me a little bit in the general manager role in some capacity, to where he still has insider knowledge that he obtained when I was, you know, in our old position. So he'll start by introducing me to people and connecting me with stuff that he was already working on projects.
Great. That's terrific. It's terrific that he's not leaving the station, but I think it's a great thing that you're rising up in the world and doing what you were already doing
by
having the title to go with it. That's the truth.
Absolutely.
That's the real honesty of it.
Love
so,
it.
Yay. So happy. So, are you ready to do our, straight into our weekly thing now of guessing or knowing or thinking how the songs we played in our segment, our Saturday segue, connect to the world at large? You ready?
I am ready.
All right, let's start with the first song that we played. It was by a reggae artist named Donovan, no relation to, you know, the hurdy-gurdy man Donovan. This is a, you know, black reggae guy from the 80s who may still be around. The song was called Human Bomb.
Don't know.
Incredible how short news cycles are day and age. It happens early in the week, and it's already like not even, people aren't even paying attention. But it was a big deal, like on Sunday or Monday when this happened. Not in America.
You're referring to, I mean, it's, I'm guessing a suicide bomber.
Well, a bomber.
Yeah.
There was a big, big bomb blast in Bangkok, Thailand.
Oh, that's right, at the bridge. Or at the intersection or whatnot.
Something like that, yeah.
Like a major intersection.
Killed a few people. This guy, now, the song isn't quite accurate for our terms because he wasn't like one of these Arab suicide bombers. He dropped his knapsack and went. He's more like the Charnaya brothers at the Boston Marathon.
Yeah.
But he did a lot of damage. And they're looking for this guy in a yellow shirt.
Absolutely.
So, he killed, I have the information here. He killed 20 people and wounded 100.
That's terrible.
Bangkok market.
Hmm. Yeah.
Although you missed my jokes about him.
Wow.
Which is probably a good thing.
Probably. Maybe.
Yeah. All right. So all right. You're 0-1, kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of. I can't give you that one.
No, I don't think you should.
Okay. Then we heard John Panette, the late comedian, very funny guy, who was very often doing bits about his weight and food and things like that. Do you remember John Panette?
I know I've heard some of his stuff.
And this is from his 2007 album, Making Light of Myself, that routine called The Subway Diet. Yeah.
Jared.
I think you'll get this one.
Oh, Jared.
Yes, Jared Fogle, the molester, the purveyor.
Announced he'd be pleading guilty.
I'm sorry, what about pleading guilty?
He announced he'd be pleading guilty.
Yeah.
That's just terrifying.
Why?
If you ask me. Well, I mean,
he's not denying, you know, there's no point. If they found however many images of naked children on his computer.
Yeah, it's like, hey, so we caught you. And he's like, okay. No, those aren't mine, officer. I'm holding them for a friend.
Exactly.
This isn't my weed, officer. I'm just holding it for a friend.
You know, the Pete Townsend defense, you know, when he was kind of caught, except he said, well, I was molested and, you know, just doing research. I'm like, oh, okay, sure, sure. You got an 8-year-old with, you know, a penis in her ass.
That's terrifying.
That's research, yeah. I mean, you know, an 11-year-old is hot, but an 8-year-old is disgusting.
Even more terrifying.
I'm just teasing, folks.
I'm aware.
The views expressed, now that the general manager's here, I have to be like, the views expressed in this program do not represent the views of Matthew Davis or any proper normal human being. Okay, well, you're one for one in our Saturday segue here of In the News song items. We then played a song called, oh boy, I don't remember. Oh, this is funny. I don't remember why I played this song, and I forgot to make a note of it.
Okay, well, let me
maybe you can help me.
Okay.
A song called Throw the Anchor Away.
Oh. Did anybody get fired? Did any news anchors get fired this past week?
That's a good question. I don't remember. I'm failing my own quiz. This does not bode well for my classes.
No.
News. Was there a boat problem of some sort? Oh, yes. Oh, of course. Yes. This is a big thing. And dumb of me for not knowing. Now I know what it's like to be on the other side of the mic when you don't have notes in front of you. Okay, think about it.
Okay.
Throw the anchor away. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Politics. Verbal politics.
Donald Trump. Okay.
As soon as I said the word verbal, you heard Donald Trump. What's the phrase that's been suddenly controversial and being thrown around and they're talking about and that Donald Trump shocked everyone with this week?
You know, I feel like there's more than one thing.
Well, okay.
I actually can't really tell you on this one. There's too
again,
much news
cycle.
About this man to, like,
this
make
was
it
3 days ago.
Yeah.
So already it's out of my head. But there's a term there. I've never heard of this, but apparently this is the term they're throwing around: anchor baby.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, that already came in and out of the news cycle, but it's been in and out in the past.
I had not heard of it until this week, and it blew up because Donald Trump used it, and some reporter at a press conference called him on it and said, "Don't you realize that's kind of offensive?" And Trump, in his way, and kind of correctly, said, "This is the term I'm using. Everybody is using this term. It may be politically incorrect, but you come up with another one. You know, we know what it means. It's a meme. I don't think it's the word meme, but you know, anchor baby. We know what it represents. It represents babies who are, you know, illegal immigrants are here. They make a baby in this country, and that baby's automatically an American citizen."
Yes, and so, to be fair, I heard a lot of people arguing about that. I do believe that should stay. I think it was Ted Cruz who may have come out and said, it's a birthright to be a citizen in the United States. And I was like, no, it is.
It is. You're born here.
You're born on United States soil, regardless as to whether or not that's here in the continental United States, any of our territories, or a military base that's a United States citizen, in my opinion.
And I don't think that should change. I mean, Trump is saying, so these illegals will come here, so supposedly, and when they're 8 months pregnant, and drop a bam, boom, you know, they're American. But they are.
Baby's got citizenship. They take the baby back to, say, I'm sure what he is referring to is Mexico, raise it there, but their child's an American citizen, so it's much easier for them to get visas to come to the United States later, green cards, whatnot, because their child is an American citizen.
Yeah.
And
I
he
mean,
can travel
again,
freely.
Trump has a point, but the way he puts it but the impossibility of shipping 5 million, no, God knows, 100 million immigrants away. I mean,
no, sorry, 8 months pregnant lady, please turn around, we're deporting you back to Mexico. No, you should take care of these people.
And you know, if my great-great-grandparents were here, I mean, they came in on ships and were processed probably through Ellis Island, I assume, you know, Trump would send them back.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. Well, I should know this, but let's say you have an American couple, American citizen couple, and they're on vacation. So they go to France, and she's pregnant. Let's say she's 7.5 months pregnant, and she's on French soil, and she drops early. Is that baby French, Or is that baby American?
I don't know. My assumption would be that the baby would... It's automatically an American because...
Because?
Because her parents are American citizens.
Oh, so no matter where an American citizen goes, if they have a baby, it's an American baby.
That's my knowledge. My aunt was born in...
Aunt? Your aunt?
Yes.
Where are you aunt. From, aunt?
I'm from the South.
Oh, okay.
You'd think I'd say aunt.
Yeah, auntie. Right.
I don't know. It just
I'm kind of unhappy with that.
It may or may not just have been a ton of British TV shows I've been watching.
Oh, that could be, yeah. And because they're stupid Boston, yeah.
Awesome, yes. So, my aunt, aunt, was born out of the United States because my grandparents were on vacation in Europe.
Right, okay.
But she's an American citizen. Yeah.
So she still
was not born on America. She was actually born in West. This might be a weird technicality though, because she was born in West Germany.
Oh.
When it was West Germany.
So she's both an American and a Nazi, essentially.
No.
Just. Yeah. All right. Okay. No, it's post. But if one parent is an American citizen, the baby,
I would believe would be an American citizen, and if the other parent wanted it, the baby could have dual citizenship in the other parent's country.
Oh, interesting. But no matter what, even one parent.
I would think so.
Sperm, that
I do believe so. I can double check.
You can check.
I feel like this is worthy of
it is, man.
Us knowing.
Because this is the big debate now. This is what we're all... Every couple of months, the Republicans bring up immigration. Like, it's the most important thing out there. That, you know, global warming, the climate isn't. That unemployment isn't. That the stock market dropped 1,000 points this week isn't. No, well, actually, that isn't very important. But,
all right, what does it say? It's rather important. So, a child born abroad to a U.S. citizen parent or parents, so it could be one or two, may acquire U.S. citizenship at birth if certain statutory requirements are met.
Okay.
So...
That's pretty good. So now we know.
So if for some reason the child is born outside the U.S., the child's parents should contact the nearest U.S. embassy or consult...
Oh, yeah.
...to apply for a consular report of birth abroad of a citizen of the United States of America.
Fair enough.
It doesn't just happen. You have to make it happen. It's not like... You're born in a U.S. hospital, you're given a birth certificate. Like, that just happens. You get a Social Security card right away.
You have to go to the consulate to sign an extra form or two. Okay.
Document that the child is a U.S. citizen. If the U.S. embassy or consulate determines that the child acquired U.S. citizenship at birth, a consular officer will approve the CRBA thingy application, and the Department of State will issue a CRBA, also called a form, blah, 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 in the child's name.
Yeah, no, but I'm thinking, like, what's going to happen is we're going to have families, tons of people, going to visit their grandparents in Cuba that they haven't seen in 100 years, and people stay there, and babies will be born there, and one person will be Cuban and one person not, and et cetera, you know, all these Floridians. Yeah. But the kids, it won't be a big deal. There's an American consulate in Cuba now.
So yes.
So you have a baby in Cuba,
but,
one person, yeah.
So that's, I do take this as the... most credible source. This is from travel.state.gov.
Oh, so. Which is run by my friend Morty in a boiler room. It's a
very well.
Well, it's
could
got
be.
The .gov after it. You can actually cite that in a thesis paper. Hey,
most
can
likely.
I ask you a question?
You can.
So, no, you know,
I don't know.
Right,
if
let me finish the segment, and then I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
And something I should have asked one of my students that I saw yesterday. That I taught her in the fall, and now she's working at one of the buildings here. And I forgot to ask her, but I'm going to ask you. Maybe I did ask her, and I've forgotten, because I don't actually listen to what you're saying. It's my show. I just care about what's coming out of my mouth. But before we get to that, I played two more songs in our In the News Saturday segue. The next song I played, kind of a giveaway in the title, it's by Light... Oh, by the way, Throw the Anchor Away. The song was from By the Sea, the 1954 Broadway musical. The next song came from Lightnin' Hopkins, the blues man. Sad News from Korea.
Ah, with the escalated, almost war-like tensions. Well, because the North fired artillery on the South, and then the South fired artillery on the North, and then the North said, well, if you're going to act this way, we might go to war. Kim, calm yourself down. Kim, calm
if Israel went to full-on war every time they fire rockets at it, it would be, well, it isn't a constant state of war, but, you know, it'd be Lebanon every week. Seriously, man.
Actually, though.
But now North Korea, I mean, God, man. And are we still obligated to back up South Korea, et cetera, and so forth?
Well, we have 28,000 troops on the border.
We have them there for South Korea.
The United States of America has 28,000 troops on the demilitarized zone. So, yeah, in the event that we were, that the South and North went to war, at least those troops would immediately directly be impacted and probably fight alongside the South to repel an invasion, because that's the only option I could see. I don't think the South would try to invade the North. I think the North would try invade the South or do something stupid like that.
But do you think, I mean, everybody's making fun of Kim Jong-un, and do you think he'll back down now, or is he crazy enough to start a frickin' war?
Well, I mean, technically they've been at war the entire time. They've never actually stopped being at war. However, I do think he's crazy enough. However, this is not the first time incidents like this have happened, even with him. So only time will tell on this one.
Interesting, yeah. Oh, no. Oh, come on. Come on, man. Really?
Kim.
Just, you know, be at Korea again. Like from 60, 70 years ago now. And I don't care. Anywho.
Weed's legal in North Korea. Kim needs to smoke some.
Good point.
Peace, man.
And he is so cute. It's like he's a cutie.
I'm sorry, South.
You know, you want to put him in, like, those Russian Easter egg things. You have little Jong-uns and Kims and things. What are you doing with your hands? What is that?
Something inappropriate, and it's a good thing we're on the radio and not on TV.
Yeah, definitely. Okay.
There we go.
The other and then the final song we played in that, just thought of playing this one, was from Big Sean, featuring the vocals of Miguel. I don't even know who the hell these people are. I just found them on YouTube. And the song starts with an F word, so there you go. That's why I'm not on terrestrial radio anymore. But song was called Ashley. Anybody? Any thoughts on why? We play a song called Ashley. What is in the news?
No clue.
Mm.
When you were asking me about what song we should play, and you said Ashley, it should have been my clue to start thinking.
There's your clue right there. The song was called Ashley by Big Sean. What? And of course, Miguel was there on the lyrics. Ashley, Ashley, Ashley. Is there an Ashley in the news?
Thinking about the Olsen twins?
No.
Okay.
No. How do I give you a hint? Well, how old are you?
22.
22. Okay, you'd be old enough. Okay. Are you, we've discussed this. Are you dating anyone? You've been out with anybody? Are you too busy to deal?
It's a combination of those three things.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Of course, if you were looking for a date, a particular kind of date, where might you go?
So you are referring to the Ashley Madison hack, where they released even more names, and my personal favorite, Josh Duggar, was on the list. Yeah. And it honestly just made me really happy. It shouldn't. It really shouldn't, but... Wow.
Yeah.
It was a happy day.
The operative term. So, yes, that's the big Ash. I mean, I think they must have millions, really, of names of probably quite a lot of married people.
It's like over 5% of all Canadians have accounts on the website.
All Canadians, did you say?
Like 5% of all Canadians apparently have an account. Now, there might be a lot of fakes, but like just a number of accounts that claim Canadian citizenship is 5% of the country of Canada.
Well, think about what Canadians have. You know, they're either eating donuts or they're curling or they're freezing in the cold and demanding health care. They've got nothing else to do. They might as well shtup.
They could play hockey.
Oh, the hockey. They've got their hockey. But hockey
It's like four things.
Four? Okay.
It's four things.
But what
to do instead of stooping.
Yeah, no, but the stooping between April and, like, October. That's all they have.
It's true.
And if they have to, you know, keep stooping the same person they're married to, that gets boring. So...
It's true that log cabin in the middle of nowhere is getting pretty... pretty congested and crowded.
Well, you know, it's going to be the point, I think, where so many people have their names on that registry that it won't even mean anything. And it's like, you know, every married guy will say, well, I'm just curious, just checking what it was, and, you know,
A lot of people on those sites were registered as single, either men or women, who were looking to have an affair with somebody who is married and date someone in that type of situation. So you have to remember, not all of the people that are on there were like in a committed relationship wanting to break that. They're just douchebags for wanting to break somebody else's relationship. They're just douchebags for wanting to break up somebody else's relationship.
Yeah. Millions, you know, probably thousands of them.
Yeah.
A lot of people having some explaining to do.
Can you imagine that feeling? Not even in their shoes, but in the feeling of the significant other to be sitting there and suddenly have this, you know, you find out that your husband's name is on it, the website, and you go, really?
Mm.
Like we've been married for how long? Like that could be terrifying.
Well, yeah. If it led to anything, you know, as opposed to just curiosity and stuff.
Yeah. But I think it would raise a lot of questions, even if they didn't do a single thing with it, even if they just put their name on the account. I think that'd be...
I mean, my name's been on molestafarmanimal.com for years. And I haven't yet. And I don't intend to,
but... How has Joyce stayed with you all this time? You just have to... she puts up with a lot.
Really? You think...
Just a touch.
Maybe her name's on it. Maybe she's on
Let's look.
What can you find? Is it?
I honestly have no idea how go about doing this. But anyway.
Anywho, so that is why. That is where that comes from. Our final song in the Saturday segue of In the News, we heard Ashley featuring Big Sean and all those other tunes. Not bad. I kind of really had to push you on the Ashley one.
That's okay. So I did horrible this week.
You didn't get the Anchor one. Yeah. You got the Subway Diet one. That was good. You want that one right off. Okay. You'll do better.
So,
what were we going to talk about?
You were going to ask me something that you were going to ask a previous student.
Yes.
But then you didn't.
You took, I don't know how many, maybe 3 years ago now, English 122.
I did. And
which
it was
is
3 years ago.
What they call college composition. Right?
Yes.
Okay. I don't need to know the professor. Or the, you know, name or anything like that. But I'm curious what you were taught and how useful it was, how much it was applicable to all the other writing you ended up doing in further classes at UNC. I'm sorry to do this on the air, folks, but I'm just plain curious.
No. I think it's an interesting point because even our professor in the class brought this up and mentioned that the majority of high school programs that are sending students to college are sending students ill-prepared to handle the rigor of a college composition class.
Mm-hmm.
So as opposed to us jumping right into and knowing all the basic structure, the majority of students need an additional, you know, almost a semester long of lessons on grammar and structure and sentence structure.
Mm-hmm.
And because you can't have every single student that comes into your program be also required to take a remedial English class to then take the basic class, it's kind of unfortunately fallen into this place where students are needing to take up a large amount of time in the basic 122 composition class and learn these additional grammar skills alongside the way while you're writing these papers. In my particular class, we were required to do like this grammar workbook with like a bunch of online activities in order to, you know, get a good grade and pass the class. As it turns out, you didn't really have to do that much of them to still pass, as I found out. But
were the grades inflated, and do you think, in that class?
No, absolutely not. You know, I only passed the class with a C, and I did just fine on my essays and other papers. The fault for me was that I didn't manage my time well enough on the grammar workbook stuff. And so getting through that and finishing all that up, you know, waiting too long till the end to try and mass through it didn't work out so well, as you might have imagined. And so that's kind of what dinged me in the class. Yeah. So that,
did you have a female professor? I'm kind of guessing.
I did.
This might have been.
I did have a female professor.
Again, I won't ask, but.
Yeah.
Is it? No, maybe it's someone different.
We'll discuss it later.
Yeah. So then did you take 123 after that?
I did, but not until last fall.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So did the 122 lead properly, even with all that remedial stuff? Did it kind of. Were you prepared for 123, or were you still sort of thrown in among the sharks?
I think I was prepared. I think a lot of my preparation came before college, though. I didn't have that much issues with grammar, sentence structure, anything like that in the class to begin with.
That's how that is.
My issue is that my I can structure a sentence just fine. I can structure a paragraph just fine. However, I tend to put too many words in each paragraph. So
okay.
by that, I mean the same in the same way that I ramble when I talk, I also tend to write far more than I need to. And unless I can adequately take the time to, you know, write a paper that is, you know, 12 pages when it's a 10-page
That's huge. That's a huge thing, dude.
You know, to take 12 right if I can't take the time to write, you know, 12 pages for a 10-page assignment, and then edit out about 2 pages worth of fluff that I just ended up adding in to make it more concise, it's going to end up being the 10 pages of fluff that's really 8 pages of content, and that's something that I think I probably could have gotten more out of that class with. But
this is when I say 123 for folks who are listening, 123 is English comp. 123 is basically devoted to thesis writing, well, essay writing. And
yeah. However, what I will say is that I believe that it's not the class that failed me on that point, nor my professor, more my own willingness to put in the extra work to get that done and structure my time well enough that I could make that happen. As you know, I have far too many obligations that I've committed myself to.
How committed was I'll just ask one or two quick more questions on that. I may ask you more over lunch when we go. To the first year style sheet, the composition style sheet, were you guys held to the irons of that, of all those things?
You know, to be completely honest, I don't recall.
I didn't even know it existed, honestly, until 2 weeks ago.
I do not recall what we used, if we used it, 3 years ago and many beers away.
Oh, that's...
I couldn't
used
tell
also
you.
A year ago.
Yeah. But I mean, I couldn't. I know for a fact it was not that case for English 123. If it was, it was more. You know, for us, we. Oh, and I was mistaken. I actually did take English 123 in the spring as opposed to the fall.
Okay.
Feels like a semester, yeah. 2 semesters ago, but. For that class, really, all we were kept for style was to, you know, our MLA or, you know, our style of writing that our paper called for our research paper, you know, depending on what we were writing about.
Actually, I'm curious about final question. I know our listeners are like, oh, my God. But when you say MLA, I always thought, and I'm totally wrong about this, that it was just how you source, you know, at the end you put the work cited. What does MLA mean beyond that to you?
MLA format is a style of writing, and it's how you quote inside of text. MLA kind of governs how the page looks, the size of the font, the spacing, the font itself.
Isn't there a deeper ethos about that? Isn't there more some beyond just mechanics?
It's kind of, you know, how. And all I really know it to be is the basic mechanics of how the page looks, how you talk about certain things. Like other styles of writing, the name's escaping me, but you know, in a professional research essay, you don't necessarily talk about somebody in the sense of like saying who they are. You just say their first initial, last name. So you don't necessarily Or sometimes you don't say their name at all because you want it to be confidential as an interview. You know, all those many different styles of writing, and most disciplines have their own style. Like, you know, engineers have a completely different style of writing for their papers because
that's moving to professional discourse.
They need their their mechanics in there, whereas they really don't need English rules.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, you know, let's get off the... I'm sorry, I'm going down this wormhole.
We're...
But that just is important to me because it's just, you know, we're using now... They've changed everything around just this semester. All the teachers are guinea pigs, and we're all using this common, quote-unquote, syllabus that has been handed to us.
Now, I have to ask, is this something that is going to affect the students in a negative way, maybe?
I really don't want to necessarily say it on the air. I think, like a lot of things, I think some students will fall off the grid with this. I'm very worried about it. I should be applauding the rigor of it, but there's parts of it I don't understand. And then, but then there's also the sense of maybe we're coddling people a little too much. And basically what I asked in our meetings was, where is English 121? Why can't we have what you were talking about before, of a class where so many, most of the students that are going into English 122, they need a 121. It's not a knock upon them. Yeah, it doesn't have a knock on their high schools.
It doesn't necessarily, I think, need to be taught as a remedial style class either. I think it just needs to be taught as an additional grammar-based class to prepare you for...
Which is a wonderful thing. I mean, you know, and to teach where, because if you can, first you have to put sentences together before you can put paragraphs together.
Yeah.
Obviously. So, and then where punctuation goes, that was very important to me. Just clarity. It's all about clarity. You get that, then you can move on to this higher level stuff that they're throwing at kids, and you know, there's stuff in the syllabus that I think is for grad students. And I'm like, really?
Yeah.
You got people who, and I'm talking first or second generation American. I'm not just talking like kids who come over from other countries and English is a second language. I'm talking about American kids coming out of our high schools. Let's teach them sentences first. And then, my God, let's worry about this other stuff about, you know,
But I'm gonna make you stop talking about it because you yourself didn't want to go down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, sorry,
but then you're pushing yourself down the rabbit hole.
This common syllabus thing, and I am worried.
Yeah.
I am worried not that more students will fail or get C's instead of B's or whatever it is. I'm just worried that kids will give up or they'll just feel like, oh my God. I mean, what are you asking me to do here? And you're putting the cart before the horse. You're making me gallop before I can walk. But anywho, we'll see.
You know, yeah.
All I can do is do my best, and all they can do is fire me. I'm an adjunct. I'm you know, turd under the shoe of the university. So, anywho. Anything else to talk about?
Oh, the weather. Usually before
the weather. We love doing the weather. Thank you. Thank you for bringing that back. Yes, it's going to be a warm-ish. No, actually, we're in a semi-cool front, aren't we? Hold on.
I mean, today we're at 80 now here in Greeley, Colorado.
So Matt can help us with the weather. Oh, you have the weather right there. Great.
I do have it on my
Matt,
on the screen as well.
What's the weather going to be like this week, please?
Well, today we're currently at 80 degrees Fahrenheit. The high, as it happens, was 79. Whoops. no longer. Tomorrow we're looking at a high of 83. Low of 49, pretty much just sunny all day. We're expecting, by the way, I apologize, some clouds sometime this afternoon, but we're unsure as to whether or not those are going to, produce any precipitation for us. It's 0% precipitation. Same with tomorrow. Monday, partially cloudy, mostly sunny, with a high of 92, getting a little bit hotter into the beginning of next week, which is perfect, right, as all those students are having to walk around class.
You can go into Tuesday.
Okay. Tuesday is also a little hotter, high of 94. Going into Wednesday, back down to a high of 92, and Thursday, a high of 86, starting to cool down just a touch more. Expecting precipitation on Thursday, only 20%, but, you know, as we get closer through the week, we might see a little bit more rain. Most Monday through Wednesday, though, not looking at any rain. However, we are expecting scattered thunderstorms coming up next Friday going into the weekend. Saturday, expecting no rain whatsoever, so Dave can walk in with a dry head to do Dave's gone by.
That's right. Thank you, sir. Yes, so basically today's going to be the best day. I mean, not that there are going to be bad days or rainy days, but today's 85 for a high night.
Today's going to be the coolest day, it looks like. It doesn't look like it's going to dip again too much, you know? And tonight will be one of the coldest nights, you know, we're going to see for the next week. We're expecting a low of 46 overnight tonight.
Ooh.
So that's going to be really, you know, comfortable. Like, by 6 a.m., it'll be around 47 degrees.
My nipples will be poking through my PJs.
Oh.
Yes, they will. Mm. Cut glass. Don't even know what that means. Okay.
Mm. this doesn't have anything fun on it.
What? It's all farts.
No, it's burps.
I'm sorry. Oh, give us a burp.
Give me a burp?
Yeah. A good one. Very nice. All right, thank you.
I was hoping to grab something that was like glass shattering.
Try that. There should be either the light bulb or the... Try it. From our sound machines here. No, that's Korea. It's Bangkok, yeah.
Oh.
Curtain going up. That was just me.
Well,
anyway.
We'll end it here.
Yeah. All right, on the Dave's Gone By radio program of the... We have such a nice show going, and then I bring in, like, you know, arcane English department things and weather and noises. But it's always fun bringing Matt with us on the air, Matthew Davis, who is our new general manager here at UNCRadio.com, the radio station of the University of Northern Colorado, where it is 12:46 p.m. and time for us to end this episode, our 523rd episode of the radio show. We called it Residual Effects because we thank so much our guests earlier in the neighborhood, Michael Paul Smith and Jillian Pensavale, who are the creators of the web series The Residuals. It's quite funny. Do check it out. They're short, and they're all on YouTube. You can also find them at BroadwayWorld.com and at their website, TheResiduals.tv. There are two seasons of 10 shows each, and they all run about 5 to 10 minutes apiece. So they're very, very watchable, and I think you'll enjoy them, The Residuals. And thanks so much to, this is apparently her real name, Tina Touch, who is the press person who helped set up that interview. Thank you, Tina. We also thank Rabbi Saul Solomon for giving us his rabbinical reflection today. His website is shalomdammit.com, shalom, D-A-M-M-I-T, shalomdammit.com. You can also, of course, go to my website, davesgoneby.com. Drop me an email, davesgoneby@AOL.com, and please hit my Facebook page, Radio Dave Lefkowitz, Radio Dave Lefkowitz, or you can just get there through davesgoneby.com and click on the big blue and white F. Does that sound as obscene as I think it does, Matt? Oh, Matt's concentrating on something. Or
I don't think it's obscene as you think
as
it
I
is,
think
but
it
nothing is as obscene as you think it is. Or maybe it's the other way around. You don't think it is, and they all do.
Oh, well, that goes back to the sheepmolest.com, yeah.